Our text this evening is taken from the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 2. The prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 2. And the words of the text are found in the midst of verse 27. Jeremiah 2, verse 27. I'll just take the words upon which I hope to speak. They have turned their back unto me, and not their face. Jeremiah 2, 27. Jeremiah prophesied in Jerusalem during the years 627 to 580 BC. And the words recorded here in this chapter are thought to have been originally preached early on in that period. Josiah the king was upon the throne. He had introduced some reforms in the nation and in the church, but those reforms had not really reached the hearts of the people. And so Jeremiah, in this chapter as elsewhere, preaches like an evangelist. In verses 1 to 9, he exposes the people's sin. In verses 10 to 19, he reprimands them for their departure from God. In 20 to 28, he denounces them for their lapse into idolatry and predicts future misery. And it is in that last section, when he is speaking of idolatry, that they have forsaken the true God and turned to idols, that he says something quite striking. They have turned their back unto me, and not their face. Now there are two things here described. They can be simply stated. First of all, unbelief. They have turned their back unto me. And secondly, faith. And not their face. And so we'll take those two points as our headings. First of all, unbelief. What is unbelief? In essence, it is turning one's back upon the Lord. They have turned their back unto me. Now, what does such an action as that suggest? The unbeliever, according to these words, is someone who has turned his thoughts away from God. Others may have spoken to him, preachers may have exhorted them, but they have turned away from the subject. And as Psalm 10 says, God is not in their thoughts. Their thoughts have turned, as if they have turned their back upon God. They don't want to think of him anymore. They don't want to consider him. They don't want to meditate upon him in any way. Secondly, these words, they have turned their back unto me, suggest that not only have their thoughts turned away from God, but they have refused to face up to their sin before God. It would have been well if they'd acknowledged their iniquity and had drawn into his presence and confessed their sin and implored his mercy. But they turned their back unto me. They would not face up to the sin problem in their lives, to the sin which could bring upon them judgment of death. They would not seek mercy for it. They did not want pardon for it. They walked away from that and turned their back unto me, says God. Thirdly, it suggests that they had no need of coming into his presence at all. They had no felt need of God. What an awful thing this is when a man created in God's image and by account of God's goodness, notwithstanding he owes his very being to God and the preservation of his being to him and all the mercies of this life to him, yet he turns away from God and does not see the need of him at all. Not even the need of him to save from the effects of their sins, to save from the sentence of a violated law. They don't care. The unbeliever has no need to face up to his sin in God's presence and no need to seek pardon and peace. It is God who says it. They have turned their back unto me. Fourthly, there is no attempt to pray. God was present. God was seated upon his throne of mercy and of grace. God was ready to hear, ready to answer. And they said no. There is no need to pray. There is none, the Bible says, that stirreth up himself to call upon his God. And that is the essence of unbelief. When you don't even believe it's worthwhile to pray, they turned their back unto me. The unbeliever ceases from prayer, but he does more than that. He ceases to read or hear the scripture. How sad is that? In the book of Job, such are described in Job 21, 14 and 15. The unbeliever says, "Depart from us. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways." Oh, imagine saying that to a sovereign God with power to consume you in an instant of time. But that is what the unbeliever says. I have no interest in thy word, no concern to inquire into this holy book. It may be inspired by God and written by direction of the Holy Spirit, but it is of no value to me. I don't care for its message. Even if it concerns eternal life, I don't heed what God may say to my soul. am totally indifferent to any message from heaven. They turned their back unto me and walked away as a man would walk away who disregards counsel, heeds not warning, and responds not to invitation. The unbeliever walks away from it. What is it with him? I'll tell you what it is, my friends. The unbeliever is unwilling to own God's authority over him. And that's why he won't give God a moment's thought. Because he's the master of his own fate, the captain of his own soul, and he wants to do his own thing. He wants to have full possession of his life, and he wants to follow his own desire, and he wants no interference from heaven, and he doesn't recognize any rights in God to encroach upon his life or challenge his conduct and behavior. It's as if he says to the Almighty, I will not have thee reigning over me. I will not be subject to thee. I will not be under thy dominion. I leave thy presence. And I assert my sinful independence. And God beholds and he says, they have turned their back unto me. And seventhly, although God may remonstrate with them through the preaching and may urge them to think again because their soul is at stake, they see no urgency at all. He says, today, if ye will hear my voice, harden not your heart. And it is to them as a strange thing. And they leave his presence, wanting no more religion, wanting no more instruction. They have turned their back unto me. They depart from him. They know where they ought to be, but they know too where they want to be. So like the prodigal, who leaves the father for a life of sin, they leave their heavenly father for a life of sin. And God in heaven grieves over their action. And he exclaims, they have turned their back unto me. As if to say, what have I done that they treat me thus? Why do they not return when I intend only their good? There is no explanation. The unbeliever is a fool. He departs from the God who loves him, the God who could bless him, the God who could take him from earth to heaven and crown him with blessedness and happiness in the world to come. This God, so full of promise, they wish not to know. And with an evil heart of unbelief, they depart from the living God. They have turned their back. unto me. You see, the sin which is in them, ninthly, has given them an antipathy to spiritual things. They're so mixed up by reason of sin, so perverted by reason of their depravity, that they can't see good when it stares them in the face. Jesus summed it up when he said, men love darkness rather than light. God is the light. God is the one who can make a difference. God is the one who can lift the sorrow and lift the despair. God is the one who could bless their souls. Can't they see that? Don't they know that? Yes, in a sense they do. But they have such an antipathy to God that they would rather have nothing more to do with him and everything more to do with sin. They have turned their back upon me. There was a man in the gospel who came to the Lord Jesus with promise. Concerned he was about eternal life. And there was much about this man that was commendable, praiseworthy. But at the end of the conversation which Jesus had with this man, we read these words. And he went away sorrowful. And just how often is it that a young person may come into a church like this and may have an interest, and you keep coming on Sabbath evenings and you listen, which not everybody does, and you ask questions, you show an interest. But after a while, you go away sorrowful. And God says, they have turned their back to me. And that is unbelief. Jesus said in John chapter 5, recorded to the Jews of his day, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. They don't hold any esteem for Christ. No desire for Christ. Remember what was said of him in the Old Testament. It proved to be true. The one whom man despiseth, and whom the nation abhorreth. And that's what they did. Those Jews of Jesus' day just turned away. Went back to their work and to their pastime, and some of them never returned. They turned their back upon me. What an awful thing that is. You see, they turned their back upon the God who could have shown them mercy. But they appeared not to want it. They turned their back upon me. They turned their back upon the God who was holding out his Son to them as the only Savior of sinners, the one whom he would give to all who asked. They didn't want the gift. They turned their back on me. The God who held in his hand the promise of forgiveness and acceptance, the promise of eternal life. No greater gift could God bestow than life with him in heaven forevermore, uninterrupted, unending, ever more glorious. He held that out to them and would have given it freely. And they turned their back unto him. That is unbelief. I look around this congregation tonight. And how many here have done that? So near. Moved in heart to turn and find him as a saving God. And yet, you've turned away. You've given it up. You've given him up. You've lost it all. And God looks after you with pain and grief. And he says of you, does he say this of you? They have turned their back unto me. I tell you, there's no greater tragedy on this earth than a man who turns away from the living God when the living God was ready to save him. But that's what unbelief is. It's turning away from your Savior, turning away from your Lord. It is open rejection of him and disdain for him. And it is saying to the Redeemer of men, I do not need you. And I do not want you. And God marks it. He will never forget it. Because his mercy has been slighted. His authority has been rejected. His will has been denied. And this is what he says. They have turned their back unto me. Now that is a sin, my friends. From which, apart from a conversion to Christ, will damn you. And let me secondly turn to faith. God says, they have turned their back unto me and not their face. And that's what faith would have been. Not departing from God, but turning to God and looking to him. They didn't do that. They should have done that. And they would have done that had they really understood power of his wrath, the sinfulness of their sin, and the ability of their Savior to save them to the uttermost. They have turned their back unto me and not their face. So what is faith? Faith in the first place is ceasing to wonder. All our lives maybe we've wandered from God. And in latter years it may be under the witness of a gospel church, you've heard time and time again from this pulpit the words of the Lord, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you." Stop. Stop wandering away. Stop being a prodigal. Stop being a spiritual rebel. Turn! Turn your face to me. Look to me for pardon. Look to me for hope. Believe. It is to cease from wondering. Secondly, to turn the face toward God is to begin to listen to his word. When we are intent and serious, somebody's trying to tell us something. We look them in the face and say, "Now, what do you want to say to me?" We do it with children. Children may be trying to arrest your attention and you're busy with many things and can't afford them the time, but they persist. And in the end, you look down at the little child and say, "Now, what do you want to say?" And that's faith, really. A sinner looking to God and saying, "Oh God, what is it you're trying to tell me? I'm listening." So it is preparedness to listen to the word of God. Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. In particular, to listen to the gospel. Turn your face to God and hear what the Lord would speak unto you. They have turned their back unto me and not their face. If they turned their face, they would not only have come home, as it were, not only would they have listened to the word, but they would have responded to the call. And the call was to come to Christ. To receive and to rest upon Christ. That was the call of the gospel. And when men turn their faces to God, they are in effect saying, "I'm coming. I'm coming home. I'm coming to trust in thy Son. I am coming to rest upon his finished work. I'm coming to thee through Jesus Christ the Redeemer. I'm coming, and I'm coming now." And thus they turn their face and not their back to God. They look at him in full face, with full view, because they need what he is willing to give. They need a Savior. He'll give them that in Jesus. They need remission of sins, a wipeout for all they've done amiss, and he will give them that. For remission of sins is preached in Jesus' name. They need acceptance into the number of God's people. He'll give them that. I will receive thee, saith the Lord. They need the assurance of eternal life. He'll give it. I give eternal life. They needed death, the kingdom of heaven, and he will give unto them the kingdom. And so faith turns back to the God who has been spurned. Faith turns back to the God who is notwithstanding patient. And faith turns back to the God who at the 11th hour will save. The moment an unbeliever turns his face unto God. They've turned their face unto me, because they know their duty. Jesus said to the weary and heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Many didn't. Some did. They turned their face to him, and they were lightened. They were saved by the grace of God. And friends, it is still the same. However many times you have left this church, turning your back upon it and its message, however many times you have forsaken the Lord and said, it's not for me, however many times you have refused him who desires to be your Savior, still he calls, come unto me, and I will give thee rest. And what do you have to do to be saved? Climb a mountain? Cross a sea? No. Turn your face to Jesus Christ and look to him for salvation and for everlasting life, and look to no other, but depend upon him who died on the cross to make eternal life the possession of unbelievers and sinners. Don't turn your back upon him again. I must urge that. Don't do it again. But tonight, turn from unbelief to faith. Give him not your back, but your face. Look to him, call upon him, and cry that God would have mercy upon you and change your heart and lift the load of your guilt and love you freely, and bring you into a state of liberty, and conduct you at last to heaven. Look unto me, he says, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Look unto me! There is salvation in no other. Look unto me. Time is passing, even fleeting. Look unto me. Judgment is coming with haste. Look unto me. And how have not God say of you as one of the great tragedies of this world? They turned their back to me and not their face. Let us sing our psalm, which is 123. The tune is Consolation 47.